Hey, good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Joining us here on this Tuesday morning, we have a couple of guests from Pottawatomie County. And joining me here in studio is Pottawatomie County Planner Stephen Metzger. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good to talk to you again. Dee McKee, Pottawatomie County Commissioner, joins us via Zoom today. Good morning, Dee.
Good morning to both of you.
Pleasure to have you both.
Admire your bravery out there in the cold.
It is cold, but it's, you know, and it's interesting. It's going to be 22 degrees. We were talking about this. We've been talking about the 22 all day. And the fact that it's going to be 22 degrees is just the icing on the cake there with it being a Tuesday.
Yeah.
If you were in Las Vegas, well, you'd be getting married.
Probably so. Well, it's good to talk. I know you guys were off yesterday because of the holiday, so it's kind of a rare day off for county facilities and county business, but there's a lot going on in Pottawatomie County, and we're going to start things off first talking about some meetings that will be coming up here pretty soon. We're going to be getting into the month of March. Is it next week already, Stephen, that these meetings are taking place?
The first meeting, I think, is next week, March 3rd, I think is next week, right? So March 3rd in Wamego at Ironclad, 6 to 8 p.m. It's their come-and-go events, and what these meetings are just an opportunity for the public to ask questions, to make comments on some draft solar farm regulations that are out there. The first meeting, as I said, is March 3rd in Wamego at Ironclad. The second meeting is March 10th, which is the next week, in St. Mary's at the Armory there in town. Both meetings 6 to 8, those are Thursdays, both nights. If you don't want to come to the meetings or you can't, all the information is available online, and you can actually participate online as well. There's an opportunity for you to make comments online, ask questions online. We'll compile all those, and we'll actually give you an answer directly as well if you ask a question. So the goal is to make this as accessible as possible to anybody, however they want to participate. So, yeah, looking forward to it. We've spent a lot of work on these solar farm regulations, and so I'm interested to see what the public has to say about it.
And if I remember right, it's been almost a year since this whole process began.
Yeah, we got started in March of 2021. So, yeah, it's been about a year. Did not think it would take a year. I thought we'd be done 6 months ago, but obviously not, which is great. I've learned a lot. Planning Commission's learned a lot. I think County Commission's learned a lot. And we'll see. You know, there's still no guarantee that we'll end up with solar farm regulations at all. Currently, today, they're not allowed within the county. And if County Commission or Planning Commission decide that's not the way we're going to go, then they'll remain not allowed in the county. And so I don't want it to sound like, well, we're going to have regulations. It's just a matter of what they look like. We may end up not having any regulations at all. So that's really where the public comes into play, because I know both entities are going to take into account what they have to say very seriously.
And Dee, how interested are you in finding out what the public has to say the next couple weeks?
Well, I think from the very beginning, I wanted them to have input on what issues should be addressed should solar farms come in. And it is an issue for our county because we have a power plant that has been subsidizing or underfunding our tax base for quite a while, and under the current let's get rid of coal powered plants, we are going to lose a significant chunk of valuation. And to not look at what the other options are and how they should be handled is not facing reality. I know there's the people who just don't want to see something, or they don't want this or that, but if we do not consider this, at least consider it, we would be saying that we believe all the taxpayers should probably assume another 40% of a taxes obligation for the loss of a power plant in the future. So it's a future looking thing, and it is complicated, and it does have history, and we're trying to gather it from many places. I appreciate what Stephen and Greg have done in the Planning Commission to try and keep us informed and directed. It keeps changing.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Well, we have caller standing by on the phone. I know Robert usually likes to call in here with you guys. So, Robert, go ahead.
Well, thank you for that. Other possibilities, thinking, you know, everybody's talking about the $3 million or whatever they're getting for this Rebuild America money. And the state is probably getting money, too, that we could help to divert into an alternative state road up there past the school on Green Valley across the Blue River with the new bridge in order to be able to get that put in. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Robert, I thank you for your comment. That is something that we have Bartlett and West working on, a proposal for the rebuild money. It has to be finished at the end of this week, at least as a proposal. And I've been trying to contact people's organizations that can respond to this. We'll do some more of that today over in Manhattan, because it is a region need. It isn't just Pottawatomie County saying we want that road. We have a school over here, and we've proven in the last week or so with closing down to one lane on 24 how slow and complicated that is. I've seen three accidents myself, one that sends somebody to the hospital. And as we grow and consider other developments out here, to not prepare for that alternate route that will let people go back and forth to Manhattan when there's a flood or whatever is pretty irresponsible. I'll use that word, irresponsible. We're going to have to. So what we're trying to do is get the advanced preliminary engineering of a road across the Blue River with the build money that you just mentioned. And if anybody wants to write a letter in support of it, we have one from the Blue Township people. I've talked to KBED over at the university, and that's the NBAF group that brought in and will bring in and help bring in other agencies. And I'll catch up with Jason at the chamber and just get some, try to get some support letters in place for that. It's a complicated why it doesn't move very easily, but we're going to work on it.
Yeah. We can talk a little bit more about that here as the as our hour goes along here, but thanks for the call, Robert. Getting back to the solar farm meetings, you know, it's interesting because I know there's a lot of opportunity here potentially for some folks to make money here on these, I know, property owners and such. Could you describe to us kind of what a solar garden would entail, Stephen?
So that's a really good point. There's kind of two distinct projects that we were talking about. So you've got solar gardens, which are smaller in scale, and actually Pike County does have one solar garden up on Walker Road, and those are between 10 and 20 acres, very small or relatively small projects that generally sort of supplement an existing power operator, whether that's a city. So a lot of small cities in Kansas have their own small solar facilities. Ours is to supplement Bluestem Electrical Co-op and their power generation. And then you've got the large commercial scale solar farms. And these are generally in the order of 2,000 to 2,500 acres. Now, if you don't know what that looks like or what that means, you know, if you can think of it as 4 square miles, the city of Wamego, their city limits encompass about 1,700 acres. Jeffrey and all the things that come with Jeffrey are about 2,500 acres. Or St. Mary's is about 750 acres. So these are huge operations. They're not just, you know, some guy's quarter section that he's putting in panels. We're talking about, you know, 2-3 square miles worth of solar panels. And so these are big operations, and I want to make that point to everybody, because I think a lot of times when we talk about it in the abstract, it can be hard to really understand just how big these are. So they're good sized.
Yeah, okay. Well, and that's a good point, because, you know, we see the, in western Kansas, when you drive towards Colorado, you see a lot of the wind farms, and those cover a number of acres as well. So I wondered if it would be kind of on the similar scale there.
So because wind farms are so tall, they need a lot more room between turbines. And so they generally take up more acreage project-wise, because you're trying to fit, you know, 100 or 200 turbines, and you can't do that within the same area that you could, say, 2,500 acres worth of panels. So they're a little less land intense than a wind farm, but for the power generated, they're more land intense than, say, a Jeffrey or a nuclear facility. So it's kind of, you know, in between those two things.
Okay. And I guess given where these meetings are happening here, again, on the 3rd and the 10th in Wamego and St. Mary's, that's kind of the area of concentration then where these would be projected to be?
At least so far. I mean, you know, if we adopt regulations, they could theoretically go anywhere in the county. But at least right now, the companies that are looking in the area are looking at that flat river ground, Carr River Valley ground between Wamego and St. Mary's. You know, just like any business, they're trying to minimize the cost and maximize the profit. Well, a river bottom with very little rock is the cheapest place to put them. It's flat. You don't have to do a lot of grading. And so that's where they're looking right now.
All right. You know, we're speaking with Stephen Metzger, Dean McKee here, Pottawatomie County In Focus on News Radio KMAN. We'll take our first break of the program and come back after these words on News Radio KMAN.